Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So you want to talk about people who are having a bad day? Look at the gospel lesson. You know, it's not so much that Jesus said it. It's more along the lines of there was actually a group of people who got together and decided that they should put this thing in its entirety in the 3-year lectionary rotation just to make you happy. So you feel good about yourself. Because it's not just what you do, it's now what you think and how you feel. And of course, the options of dealing with this are really good too, aren't they? Well, okay, pull out your eye. If I had to, never mind. So, today's Old Testament lesson is about Moses leading the people of Israel to the Promised Land. Now, Moses isn't allowed to go into the Promised Land because he should have been pulling his eye out at one point or cutting his arm off or something, I guess, because he did bad things and wasn't allowed to go there. So they're standing on the edge of the River Jordan looking over across going, okay, we're going there. And Moses says, okay, I have some instruction for you. This is what you need to know. What you need to know is that when you go there, you're going to need to make a choice. You're going to choose life or death, prosperity or adversity. Now, these are the choices I like, because you can figure this one out. Even if you wake up in the middle of the night out of a deep sleep and somebody says, okay, you have to choose right now, life or death, what are you going to do? No, I'll choose life, thank you. To put it in historical context, the whole reason why Moses was preaching this sermon to the Israelites at this point in time is they were going into the Promised Land. Now, the Promised Land, contrary to some popular belief, was not this vacated square of property that they were walking into to say, oh, look what we've been given. But rather, it was occupied by people who didn't believe in Yahweh, who didn't worship God. They worshiped other gods, more fun gods, gods that allowed them to do all kinds of naughty things. And so they look at those gods, and you look at Yahweh, and you go, And so Moses says, you have to make a choice. These other gods might look like they're a whole lot of fun, but they're going to bring you death and adversity. You choose me, and you will have life and prosperity. And so I imagine then, because it would have been a secret ballot, because it was an ecclesiastical gathering, that they went and they checked on their little rocks. Yes, we'll go for prosperity. We'll go for life. And they put them all into a basket, and somebody counted them, maybe Aaron, and said, okay, there we go, the vote is 459,320 to none. Go on in. The whole idea of what Moses was putting forth before the people of Israel wasn't this once and done sort of thing. It wasn't, oh, I chose God, I'm good, thank you, let me be on my way. You see, this choice of life versus death, of prosperity versus adversity, wasn't a choice that was just done as they stood there with their toes in the side of the river. It was a choice that was demanded of them each and every day of their lives. The choice to choose God or not. The choice to choose life or not. And so as the people of Israel entered into the promised land, there they stood, surrounded by these other gods, surrounded by these other people, forced to deal with the fact that this was a choice that was going to be a lifelong obligation for them, choosing each moment of every day whether they were going to be on the side of God or on the other side of that line, whether they were going to choose life or whether they were going to choose death, whether they were going to choose prosperity or adversity. Now, it would seem to be that that would be the easiest choice in the world to make. So now we'll cycle forward to our gospel lesson. Because what underlies the gospel lesson is that very same concept. Choice. Life with God or death. Prosperity, living under the Word of God, or adversity, choosing not. Last week we talked about it. 613 in the Old Testament, 1,050 in the New Testament. All these rules and regulations and things that are formed and shaped for good life under God. All these rules and regulations put there to help us understand how we can best serve God and best serve humanity. There are guidelines there to be able to help us on that path of life, to be able to know what the right choice might be. It's like sitting in the eye doctor. I see many of you have corrective vision devices on your face. Some of you who choose not to wear them on your face have them in your eyeballs. And you've sat in that chair listening to a fairly uninterested optometrist going, one or two, better or worse. Now, some of you have fairly good eyesight, and so you go through this process maybe once or twice and you nail it down and say, okay, here's your correction. There are people like me and my mother, just so you know where it came from, who sit there for hours. One or two, three or four. One or two, two or one. Flipping these things up and down, sideways and around, trying to get a sense of clear vision, giving us the choices that don't even seem so clear. Well, that's kind of the same. One or two, I don't know. Well, what about this one then? Two or three? It's about giving us clear vision. Much in the same way God's Word is there to give us a sense of clarity in terms of how we're supposed to be living our lives. Now, Moses is a lot easier than Jesus.
Life or death. Take your pick. Oh, I choose death.
You're going to choose life. Nobody's going to choose death. But then Jesus comes along and does what? Oh, don't even look. You can't touch, but you can't even look. No looking. No thinking. No harboring any resentment. Are you out of your mind, Jesus? Haven't you ever had to deal with some of these morons in the world who treat us badly on a regular basis, and we can't harbor resentment?
Well, if you do, cut your arm off.
It is impossible. This gospel is impossible. Utterly impossible. And it is meant to be impossible. Because the reality of choosing life over death, choosing to be with God, draws us to the understanding that it is impossible for us
to be one with God on our own. That we can't go through life without harboring resentment. We can't go through life looking at another person going, We can't go through life with the perfection that God expects. And that's why we have that present of Jesus. You see, Jesus is what kicks us over that hump. You know what the hump is, don't you? The hump is our sinfulness. And our sinfulness is piled up so high that we can't get over that hump to get to God. And so we end up having, thankfully, Jesus behind us, kind of kicking us along despite ourselves to get us pushed over that hump so we can find that place with God. Because today's gospel lesson makes it very clear that there's no way we can do this on our own. There is no way that there's a human being on the face of this earth that can live life according to that standard. And I don't really think that Jesus was proclaiming this to make people feel bad about themselves. But it was really wrapped up in having the world understand that what we can't accomplish, what is impossible for us to do, is possible with God when we choose life, when we choose prosperity. Not prosperity necessarily in the means that we're going to walk out of here with pockets filled with cash, but a prosperity of our souls. It allows us to understand what life with God is really about. When we choose life, we choose that blessing of God. And we choose that ability to see that while we can't accomplish the things that God expects of us, with God, all of that is possible. And through Christ, despite what we can't do, despite the wrongs that we might commit, despite our utter sinfulness, the forgiveness we receive through Jesus Christ is what gets us over that hump, is what brings us to God. It is that which makes possible the things that are impossible for us. It is through Christ alone that we're able to do those things that God would have us do. As we choose life, we choose Christ. As we choose Christ, we find life in that forgiveness.